All right, guys, here we go. Northeast Podcast. Lots of sports to talk today. We're going to talk NHL draft. We're going to talk Aaron Rodgers, Vikings offseason, and update you on the Olympics. Here we go. Northeast Podcast. And here we go. Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan, just the two of us today for a little sports talk. Lots to talk about, some big stuff, but before we dive into everything, we need you guys to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe anywhere that you get your favorite podcasts from, and take some of our hot takes to heat up your summer even more. Not necessarily what you need right now, but our takes are just that good. So stick with us, hang with us. We got some good beer that we're going to be drinking. Hopefully you are doing the same. And we've got a lot of great things to talk about in the world of sports. Ryan, what are we drinking?
We are drinking, it seems like we have them on like every other week. This is Falling Knife. This is all sunshine, because that's kind of what we've been getting. So this is a double dry hopped hazy IPA. It's really good. It's a solid beer. Tastes like a lot of those kind of heavier hopped beers, but not bitter. I like it. It's good.
I like it too. So lots to talk about today.
How are you, by the way?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
Good. Your intro is so dialed when it's all three of us.
Yeah.
Just looking over at me, I could see the panic in your eyes. I haven't been down this road in a long time.
Had to mix it up.
Yeah.
It's like robotic.
So you just cut to the chase.
It's like robotic for me usually.
You're like, we got no time to F around without James here. Let's get into it.
All right. I'm just so excited to talk sports with you. So first things first, the Bucks win the NBA title. And what I think is so interesting about this is I am so anti-Wisconsin in my sports fandom and maybe just my life. I'm so anti-Wisconsin. I hate when Wisconsin teams win. I hate the fact that Wisconsin wins more than Minnesota.
And it's not even close.
It's not even close. It just sucks. And I am the first to admit that. And for whatever reason, when I'm a neutral fan, I just like let myself cheer for who I want to cheer for, I guess. Like I don't think about it. Just I find myself cheering one way. I found myself cheering for the Bucks, which I thought was very weird.
Well, but you're a superstar guy. You gravitate towards the best players on the court. In this case, on the court.
Yes.
So it's easy to gravitate towards someone like Giannis.
I think I gravitate towards who I feel is deserving. Like, that's so important to me.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, want a deserving champion. I think maybe people think that's so boring. But for whatever reason, I'm like, want the right team to win. And as the series went on, you could tell that you were watching something important with Giannis, where he was just going off. He was putting up 35, 13, and 6 while shooting over 60%, which is the first time that's ever happened in the finals.
Crazy.
he was just unbelievable.
And game 5, he looked like he was playing on one leg. Like he looked like he couldn't move, but he didn't need to because Middleton and Holiday were just raining threes from all over the court.
But he just did it all. He had 50 in the closeout game.
Since LeBron went to like the Boston Garden and dropped like 50 in like the Eastern Conference Finals, yes, I think is what it was, in like a game 6. I can't remember a performance quite like what Giannis did in game 6 of the NBA Finals, where you just, every time he got the ball, you're like, he's not going to miss. You just felt the hand of the universe like pushing him towards the championship.
We were all texting in a group chat about the game as it was going on. And I was just like, we're watching history. We're watching history right now. This is a historical performance. And Jim, cheering heavy for the Suns, said, he's still got to win this thing. And there was like 6 minutes left of a really close game.
It was still close.
And all I said was, I am guaranteeing he does. And I wasn't trying to be a dick. Like, I just knew watching him, there was no stopping him.
He was not letting the Bucks lose that game.
They were not going to lose. Right. I was just like, it's over. Like, he is completely destroying a team by himself. And his teammates stepped in and made a couple big shots, but it was just incredible to watch. And he, even though he plays for the Bucks, he plays in Wisconsin, he's one of the most likable athletes that I've ever seen. I don't think anyone could disagree with that at this point. He's supposed to be like the best guy in the community. He's funny. He's playing on a team, you know,
in a small market. He went out and bought himself 50 chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A after the game. I mean, just he's just funny. He's likable. And it was like one of those sports moments where I was like, I feel like I'm going to remember this for a long time.
Have you seen the Giannis food challenges circulating now too? Because of course you got to. Yeah, it was, I mean, talk about like a massive swing too. Suns go up 2-0 at home. Chris Paul looks like what Giannis looked like in games 4 through 6, where he was getting any shot he wanted. He was destroying the Bucks. Nobody could stop him. Him and Ayton were running the high screen and roll all day with ease and just playing the Bucks for fools. And we're like, I think everyone kind of looked like, I don't know how they're going to stop Chris Paul because he looks like a man on a mission right now. And I don't know if he got hurt or was dealing with something, because he looked like a completely different player games 3 through 6.
He did.
And maybe the Bucks figured it out and just didn't broadcast it. They just, you know, made a couple small changes and that really affected the way he played. But he also wasn't making like the wide open shots like he was in games 1 and 2. So I was very confused. You know, you talked about deserving players. I think Chris Paul is kind of in that conversation, mm-hmm. and should be considered. But the greatness that Giannis showed in those closing two games, unparalleled.
Chris Paul is a Hall of Famer, and Giannis is a all-time great.
Sure.
I'm not saying that Paul isn't deserving. He is. And that, as much as he's a complete douchebag to everybody and he's a complete asshole, he's the kind of great player that you hope gets a title at some point, and I still hope that he does. I don't even like Chris Paul. I like to see deserving players win, but Giannis is like, he's going to be like chasing LeBron, not like just chasing titles. Like he's going to be a top 10-ish guy ever. And I do think we might have just, as a sports watching public, crowned Devin Booker as the new Kobe a little too fast.
For sure.
I think we were a little quick on that. He had a couple big playoff games, and then everyone was like, get the next Kobe.
Well, he also had a couple stinkers in the finals.
He was not good in the finals.
Well, he was the only one that kept him in game 5.
Yeah, game 5 he had 39 or whatever, but
yeah.
Game 6 he had like under 20 points, I think, in the big closeout game. I don't know. He just was cold from the field. And then
the two guys that were hot, Cameron Payne and Cam Johnson, Alvin, what's his last name? The Suns coach just like refused to play them.
Yeah.
Like I didn't understand. But anyway, I thought it was a pretty fun finals. I know you were, you like the big star power coming together. You wanted KD versus LeBron, like that kind of thing. KD, Harden, Irving against Giannis, LeBron and Davis. I think this was a really fun finals.
It was really fun. Giannis saved it for sure. I mean, his going up like two levels was awesome. It was really fun to watch.
Well, and there's no way after watching games 1 and 2 you thought the Bucks were even close.
No, and you also didn't think that he was even close to healthy. If you remember, he like blew out his knee like 2 weeks before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, we move. Let's move on to the NFL, because the NFL is here and it's pretty much going to be the main topic for the next 6 months.
Thank God, too, because now that the finals are over, there ain't nothing.
There's not a lot.
We're not watching the Olympics.
No.
So it's baseball.
We're definitely not watching the Olympics. But the big news is still Aaron Rodgers. So Rodgers has refused to report to the pack, has turned down their latest contract offer, which would tie him to Green Bay for 5 more seasons. He's already 38. 5 seasons as the highest paid player in NFL history. And he said no. So I don't think the Packers really know what to do. I think they thought, we can mend this relationship with money. And that also didn't work. He is posting cryptic things on social media. And now Bakhtiari, who's probably their second best player, is probably going to miss the beginning of the year. Devonta Adams, who's arguably the best receiver in football, has cut off contract talks and is in the final year of his deal.
How toxic is their front office that they can't figure out how to get their best receiver and the arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league signed to a deal with like the vision of, we'd like to win 2 Super Bowl trophies in the next 5 years with you guys.
Then Za'Darius Smith came out and made a comment about looking for a new a real estate agent in the area. Then he tried to deny that, but then he also said if he doesn't get paid what he deserves, he doesn't want to be back. They're crumbling. It's crazy. I guess
you want to know also the reason why Adams wouldn't sign too? He's seen Jordan Love in practice.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's going to have 50 catches if Jordan Love is the starter.
Now, I wouldn't be confident in Jordan Love year two and being a star player. If he is going to be good, he's in a great situation to get there just with his coach. LaFleur is one of the best coaches in football, one of the best offensive coaches in football. But I do think it's kind of funny that Bears fans are talking all this shit like their guy.
Fields
is like a sure thing.
Like NFL ready.
And Love, yeah. And Love sucks and is trash when they're probably pretty much the same thing.
I mean, yeah, Andy Dalton's going to be the starter week one.
Yeah.
But not for long.
No.
That's not the plan.
But I just think it's funny that like the Bears fans are throwing all these stones right now at the Pack. Like, I'm trying to be careful. Like, I think that it's interesting that things have gotten to this ugly point with them. But, you know, it's probably still 50-50 that all those guys are there week one. So I'm trying to play it a little bit safe, but it is weird. And just this week, odds makers took the odds of the NFC North. You can't bet
off
on them.
Board.
They're off the board.
And every Aaron Rodgers bet is off the board. Like MVP, any of that stuff is
they
gone.
Think he's either going to hold out, retire temporarily.
Well, we heard earlier this week, he's bulling retirement, like doing the Brett Favre move.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think that the move to make is like trade a bunch of guys. And just like build your team in the way that LaFleur wants to.
Isn't that insane though? That they were like one stupid fourth down call away from going to the Super Bowl, and now they're like, we're losing Davante Adams, we're losing Aaron Rodgers, we're losing Bakhtiari's hurt. A bunch of guys are unhappy. Like something else is going on there, man. You can't all of a sudden be like, we were so close, and now everyone's like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's really weird. So something's wrong there. Definitely something to watch over the next few weeks. I don't think that Rodgers is very likable in this.
I would agree. But he's been doing this for years. This is his thing.
He's kind of a douche, but, like, it is what it is. Like, it's kind of fun to watch. So let's move over to our team, the Vikings, who I think quietly have had one of the best off seasons in the entire NFL.
Hasn't been very quiet. Like, we've signed a shit ton of players.
No, I don't think it's been quiet if you're a Vikings fan, but I think it's probably been quiet if
you're
a fan
NFL.
Of other
yeah,
teams.
Sure, I gotcha.
And I think that they've had a really great off season. So just this week, they signed Dede Westbrook, the slot receiver from Jacksonville. He's played 4 years in the NFL. He's 27 years old. Coming right off of his rookie deal, he has returned punts and played on special teams. The 2 years before last year, he had 66 catches with piss poor quarterback play. Blake Bortles and Gardner Minshew were his quarterbacks. And last year he tore up his knee right away.
And it was gruesome.
Yeah.
It was a bad one.
So we'll see if he's healthy. It's a 1 year prove it deal at $1.2 million. He should be able to beat out Chad Beebe. I sure hope so. To be the slot receiver. He worked with now wide receiver coach Keenan McCardell in Jacksonville for 4 years, who is our new wide receivers coach. And so I think that he obviously came here because he likes working with him. McCardell obviously thinks he's talented. So I like that move.
What a great all upside deal.
All
like
upside.
Just a very smart, shrewd
dirt
deal
cheap
for
deal
nothing.
For a guy who's talented and you know has a lot to prove coming off of a knee injury, still young enough that he could make a nice career for himself being a slot receiver somewhere, maybe here.
And he's incredibly fast.
And he's never played with a quarterback as good as Cousins or in an offense like the Vikings in his life.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he can't catch. Like he's never been thrown a ball, you know, that's like really hard to catch.
So here we go. Vikings offseason recap. All right. So obviously last year, we've talked about this a million times, but I think it's so weird that Vikings fans were so all over Cousins and the offense last year when they probably should have been all over Zimmer and the defense last year. I know some were. The defense was atrocious. The offense was top five in the NFL. And you could see that the Vikings know that they need to rebuild their defense based on what they did in free agency. So their big marquee signing on defense was Dalvin Tomlinson, the defensive tackle from the Giants. They gave him a big deal. He's making over $10 million a year. You know, they really wanted to fix the run defense after they gave up 6 rushing touchdowns to Alvin Kamara late in the season. He'll be paired with Michael Pierce, who was our big free agent signing the year before, who sat out the whole year. And then they brought in a former Viking tackle, Sheldon Richardson, on a quick little deal, I think $3 million for 1 year as well. So they really built up the interior of that D-line.
Which we did not have a lot of depth.
No, there was
nothing. And so it's nice to have, I mean, some guys are going to go down, people are going to be nicked up and injured, but it's nice to at least have some pieces to plug and play.
They also needed to improve their cornerback situation, especially when we don't know if, what's his name?
Gladney?
Gladney's even going to be back. He's going to be in court here in the next couple of weeks for a serious felony charge that stems from a domestic violence incident. I hope they just cut him. I'm just good. I just want him gone. He sucks. He's obviously a shitty guy. He beat the crap out of a woman. I think we should just cut our losses. I'm good with that.
I'm fine with that.
But they did have Cam Dantzler, the rookie last year, who were graded better than any rookie cornerback in the NFL. They brought in Patrick Peterson, who hopefully still has something left in the tank. Former Viking Mackenzie Alexander and former Chief and I believe Packer Breshad Breeland.
Yep.
Who started most of the games. I think he started 54 of his 57 career games.
Hopefully to like just bring some veteran presence and sort of solidify... like try and figure out a way to teach the young guys while bringing some maybe not quite the athletic gifts that they used to have, but like playing smart defense, which is what Zimmer really wants from these guys anyway.
Yeah, they bring in safety Xavier Woods as well. So that's up to 6 defensive guys who will all should all contribute or start. That we signed in free agency. So they really tried to rebuild that defense. On the offensive side of the ball, obviously they bring in slot receiver D.D. Westbrook, just like we just said. They traded for center Mason Cole from the Cardinals. They drafted guard Wyatt Davis in the 3rd round from Ohio State. They drafted left tackle Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech in the 1st round.
Big dude.
And they drafted quarterback Kellen Mond, who I think Minnesota fans need to chill the fuck out about.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, Kellen Mond, could he be the starter next year? No. I'm like, dude, probably never be the starter ever. So just
We haven't even seen him throw a pass in a game yet. So let's just wait until we see that.
Oh, I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying that the odds are not in his favor.
Deck is stacked against him.
The chances are that he's a star player is like 5%. So and then on top of that, you bring, like we said, Michael Pierce back at tackle. You bring Daniil Hunter back, who missed all of last year at D-end.
It's like 2 free agents.
Yeah, you bring in Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks, who both missed a lot of the season last year with injuries as well. So
I suppose defense, Barr falls into that same category, too. Like it's almost like another free agent because he played one game and then had a bad pec injury, right?
That defense was completely decimated at the end of the year. And I know they were bad on top of it, but it didn't help that they just didn't have any players.
I remember when we were like group texting in like week 16, but like, who is number 48 and what is he doing playing strong safety?
There were guys on the field that I had never heard of. And I feel like
which is unlikely a turn of events for you because you are pretty tuned into the Vikings depth chart.
Yes. And I had never heard of guys who were like starting games.
Yeah. Like Darvin Hand or something like that. Or like who is that guy? What is he doing? He's playing linebacker.
There were some linebackers on the field that I had never in my life heard of.
They weren't even on the practice squad. They were like signed off the street.
Yes.
Like, he came from Farmers Insurance.
So anyone who still has odds up now has the Vikings as the favorites in the NFC North. I feel really good about this team.
Yeah.
Like, I think I feel too good about this team. I think that they're going to...
I just wish Matt Patricia was still coaching the Lions.
I think they're going to be bad, too,
his
though.
Incompetence, though.
But yeah. I like this team. I think that they're all in. Cousins, obviously, in a make-or-break year for him. $14 million more next year if he's still on the team. I think Zimmer is, like, win at least a playoff game or you're gone. I think it might be the same for Spielman. Like, I think that these guys are like backs against the wall this season. And I think Zimmer said, okay, if it's backs against the wall, give me some fucking D tackles and cornerbacks and let's do this. And so I think the Vikings are going to the playoffs. I feel very confident in that. I think they will win the division. And I think that they will be one of the 8 teams at the end of the year that can win the Super Bowl.
Okay. I mean, we have all the pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, offensively, I'm not too worried. Maybe O-line, again, it could be questionable. But as long as Kirk is healthy and the receivers are healthy, Dalvin Cook is obviously a major weapon. It's going to be a fun season. The only concern that I might have is, like, yeah, we did bring in a lot of pieces, but will they gel cohesively? Like, will they be able to find the right unit, right, for the different defensive formations that can fit with what Zimmer is trying to do? You know, it like I said, it's cool that we signed a bunch of dudes. Whether or not they'll be able to learn Zimmer's defense and execute it to the level that he expects is a whole different ball of wax, right? I mean, it's encouraging, but it still kind of remains to be seen whether or not the defense will actually improve significantly. Having said that, they can't really be worse.
No, they can't. I mean,
so if we're just, like, you know, mid table, right? If we have, like, the 15th best defense,
yeah,
I'll feel pretty good about
it. If we're the 15th best defense and the 5th best offense, you're probably a damn good team.
Yeah. That's winning your division.
So here's the thing. So people were saying, oh, the Vikings didn't sign that many good players. One, they signed a bunch of these dudes for, like, no money on one-year deals. And two, Dustin Baker, one of my favorite followers on Twitter.
You love Dustin Baker.
At Dust Baker on Twitter. I mean, the guy is really good. If you like Vikings stuff, you like analytics, you like stats. I mean,
you want to nerd out.
He's really great on Twitter. So at Dust Baker, give him a follow. Some guy said, you think these dudes are starting for the Vikings? And he went through and he said, Mackenzie Alexander, 20 out of 68. Brashad Breeland, 88 out of 94. Patrick Peterson, 154 out of 154. Sheldon Richardson, 118 out of 121. Dalvin Tomlinson, 64 out of 64. D.D. Westbrook, 25 out of 40. And Xavier Woods, 48 out of 60. That is 517 starts and 601 games, 86% start rate. This is a veteran group that they brought in to fix this defense, and they're hoping that by bringing in some guys with some real experience who hopefully still have some left in the tank, we could move it around sooner than later. So,
well, and I think one of the things that he was trying to point out too is durability. Right.
Ton of games from these guys.
Like these guys. And if you take D.D. Westbrook out of that, I bet it goes even higher, right? Because he missed almost all of last season. So, like, having guys that play in positions where it's easy to get injured, especially some of the D tackles, is great that they're able to stay on the field and stay healthy and contribute.
Absolutely. So I feel pretty good about, the Vikings this year. Let's move on to the Minnesota Wild. Okay, so there was no big trade. We were really hoping for a big trade. The expansion draft came and went, with the
Kraken
taking Soucy, the defenseman. Oh well, we'll be fine. But here's what happened. The Wild had a bunch of picks in this draft. For the first time, they hadn't, like, traded all their picks away for, like, a Buffalo Sabre player. Even though they were
Jack Eichel. Yeah.
They were trying to trade their picks away for a Buffalo Sabre.
Back in the same boat. They just can't help themselves.
So the first guy that they took at number 20 was goaltender Jesper Wallstedt. He was the top...
The Swede.
He was the second goaltender taken and the top-rated goaltender on most sites and draft sites. They moved up 2 picks to take him at number 20, which was technically number 19. A lot of people had him even as a top 10 player in this draft, so that was interesting that they went there with that pick. And then
because we protected Talbot.
Protected 34-year-old Talbot. Didn't protect 24-year-old Kakinen or whatever. And then now you draft this kid, 18-year-old kid. So obviously Kakinen is not the guy, even though he was one of the guys up for Rookie of the Year, is not the guy that they think is their long-term answer.
Well, even so, okay, well, let's say Kakinen plays better than Talbot. You can move Talbot at some point, and then you just have the two young guys and let them, maybe even the following season, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a good position to be in.
And then also in the first round, they took a big defender named Carson Lambos, at number 25 overall. He, like, missed a lot of the year with a bad leg injury last year, but people thought he would have gone even higher in the draft. So it was like two guys that both kind of fell to them in the 20s. I'm not going to go through the other.
I can't even remember the last time we had two first round picks.
Me either.
I mean, literally like 1999. Maybe?
I think the last time we had two first round picks was the year that we took Zach Phillips and somebody else. And we traded for Charlie Coyle. Because we traded Burns for a first-round pick and Coyle and somebody and Devin Setoguchi. And then the only other pick I'll mention is that we drafted Jack Peart, the defenseman from Grand Rapids. He was Mr. Hockey. A lot of people really like him. He went in the second round. I think some people had him as a top 40 pick in the draft. He's going to St. Cloud next year. It's always fun when they draft the Minnesota guys because then you can we watched them in high school and now they're playing here in college and then they'll go to the Wild. I always think that's fun. So,
yeah. Okay. So give me your overall, just quick 30-second rating of the NHL draft.
Okay. So I watched hours of the NHL draft,
which is too much.
2 days.
Too much.
I watched all of the first round, most of the second round and third round. And then I cut out halfway through the third round. I was like, all right, this is terrible.
Your brain is shutting down. You feeling stupider as you continue to watch it.
The people who are covering it, the analysts are just so bad compared to the NFL.
Or the NBA even.
Yeah. Their video packages are just atrocious. There was one guy that got drafted in the first round and they're like, oh man, this kid is really good. Look at this play. And it was him losing the puck. And then another one, he threw a pass that got tipped off a defender's stick and then got to the offensive guy and he got a shot. And I was like, well, it was a lucky play. Why would they pick that?
It snuck through there.
So overall, it was pretty atrocious. But the one thing that they do way better than the NBA is they trade guys on the fly and they don't make them wear the wrong hat and just crazy bullshit like that. So overall, it was pretty bad. I thought that the Wild did a reasonable job. It was just a little boring knowing that the Wild want to make a big trade right now and nothing happened.
Yeah. But if we're going for a guy like Eichel, again, you want to equate it to Premier League deals. They're complicated, man. It's really tough. Everyone's trying to finagle for the most minutia to make their team the best. And so it's not just hey, you want to swap defensemen. Our fourth line defenseman, that's an easy one to get done. But you know, you're trying to figure out big name players and who's going to go and salaries and all that stuff.
And they're trying to set the market for him. And the market itself is trying to bring it down.
Yeah.
All the teams are it's too much for all of us. And then you're all kind of trying to whittle down how low will you go with them. So it will happen at some point. Will it be the Wild? Who knows? I think more people probably think he'll be the Rangers. But the Wild, I promise everyone, the Wild will make a big trade this summer, I am positive.
What do you put the odds of Kevin Fiala wearing a Wild sweater in the fall?
Probably 58%. Better chance that he does, but if a real big piece comes, he's probably going the other way.
He's
going
to be out. He's probably top of the list of guys that could be
gone. He's probably if it's going to take a big player and prospects, he's probably the big player to go.
Right.
If it's below Eichel, he'll be back and they'll be happy to have him back. But I think if Eichel goes, he's probably gone.
Do you think because Eriksson Ek signed a very team friendly contract that he could also be a piece that would be moved?
I kind of feel like Eriksson Ek might be one of those guys who's worth more to us than he is to other teams kind of guy.
Sure.
I think that the
Wild, Kyle Granlund kind of.
Yeah, I think the Wild might like him more than everybody else likes him.
And that's fair.
And so, I don't know. I think that.
I just think they signed him to that deal because, A, they want to keep him here, but also, if they want to dangle a carrot, that's not a horrible contract to have to trade for.
I think if Fiala felt the love that Eriksson Ek felt, he would have signed a deal already.
Agreed.
I think he knows he's a piece that could be moved.
But he's also much more expensive.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Overall, NHL draft, boring as hell. It is fun, though, to, see a lot of Minnesota kids, high school kids, you know. What was his name? Chaz Lucius.
What a name.
He is going to be a Gopher, and he went in the top, 15 or 18 or something. And some people thought he was a top 10 player, and, he's the Gentry Academy family kid started Gentry Academy, and he has a brother that's going to go to the Gophers too next year. And Like, they're a big deal, so.
How do you build a family franchise like that?
I don't know. Money.
Gotta figure out how to do that.
Genetics and names, I guess. Yeah. You just name your kid Chaz Lucius
and just hope for the best.
You're probably
He's either going to be a drug dealer or he's going to be, like, a starter in professional hockey.
Yes. All right, let's move on to some big news that came out this week. And that's that that college football is officially broken forever. I'm not saying it's in a bad way. It's like maybe is the one of the final straws to break the camel's back. Like, the current system of conferences obviously doesn't work. Okay. And so what's happening here is...
And that's been slowly degrading over time.
Yes. Yeah. So what's happening here is Texas and Oklahoma are both willing to pay like $70 million to escape from the Big 12 to go to the SEC, making the SEC a 16-team conference of just powerhouses. And
Missouri.
And Missouri and Vanderbilt. And the Big 12 is going to be the Big 8, but will still be called the Big 12.
Without Texas and Oklahoma.
Without their two biggest teams. So now it'll be a battle between Kansas State and Iowa State.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
So overall, this is a mess. The Big 12 has been dying a slow, stupid death where they tried to play football with no defense. The SEC is taking over football to a point where like they're like a super league. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, who's the next to join. Like, does Notre Dame jump in? Does Clemson jump in? Does Ohio State jump in? You know, like, everyone's going to want to be part of that now because you're not. It's going to be hard to recruit unless you're Ohio State or Michigan
or Notre Dame.
Or Clemson, I guess. You can't really compete against any of those teams.
I don't think Ohio State wants any part of the SEC because they've got a monopoly on the Big Ten. So
I think
they'll just keep getting into the national championship playoffs.
I think that the Ohio State is probably on a, like, we'll come back to this in 2 years, every 2 years forever thing with the SEC right now, where they're kind of like, if we can maintain being a superpower here, but the SEC might just get to a point where, like, the 15th best team in the SEC is out recruiting Wisconsin, you know? And then it's a super league. I think what needs to happen is you take the top 128 teams, okay? 128 teams, and you put them into the equivalent of 8 different conferences, okay? 8 conferences of 16. You have the North 1 and the North 2. You have the East 1 and 2, South 1 and 2, West 1 and 2. With 32 teams in each of those regions with relegation.
I love this 100%. There needs to be relegation.
It needs to have relegation so you can move up and down into your little 8-team East and West or North and South, however they decide to do it, or just even teams. And you have two, three, four teams every year go up and down between the two. So
I'd say top two.
Sure, top two.
In the East two, get to move up. Bottom two and East one, move down.
Yep. And, like, every year, that's all that happens is, like, they do that and you battle it out with the four regions. And then instead of teams, like, going and having, like, Maryland playing in the Big Ten, which doesn't really make sense.
Or Rutgers.
Rutgers. Maryland and Rutgers are in the East with Clemson, with the Florida schools.
So you're saying this should be, like, this will be geographic?
Geographic.
Like, to some degree.
Geographic to some degree. Like, you have to draw those lines. Like, I would just put all of Florida and the Carolinas in the East.
Yeah.
Right. The whole East Coast. Carolina would want to be in the South,
but
they're
down.
In the East.
Yeah.
So the whole East Coast, you get Miami, Florida, Florida State, South Carolina,
Georgia,
Clemson, Georgia, North Carolina, you know, like all of those schools.
South Carolina.
With anybody up north of there, you know, Virginia Tech, like there's just not a ton in that Northeast part. The South has, you know, Alabama, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M,
Banger
Mississippi
conference.
State, like it's great. Yeah. And then the West is the hardest one to fill because there are like a couple good programs in the West, but not a ton.
But I think you have enough. Yeah, there's enough big schools you'd be able to fill with some quality teams
for
between
sure.
Like Arizona, Arizona State, USC, UCLA.
And if you're in trouble, you throw some of those extra Texas schools in there, Houston, Baylor, whatever.
Well, like Utah's decent. You got BYU, Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon State,
Washington State.
They're decent programs.
And then the Midwest is pretty easy as the North with, you know, Michigan State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota,
Nebraska,
so on and so forth.
Illinois, Iowa,
So to me, like, I think that's what needs to happen. And you have 128 teams in Division I football. and you get rid of D1AA, and you have those schools jump into the twos. So North Dakota State is just in North 2.
Give them a chance.
Give them a chance.
Yeah, why not?
And you get to play good teams, and like you play your teams, you know, for the most part in your area, and you have a couple crossover games to different areas, and it would be awesome.
This could be easily. This could be. It would be difficult, but this could be easily figured out by like actuary people, like people way smarter than us.
For sure, they could do this with no problems. And the only problem is like there's like eight teams that have just kind of like hijacked college football, I think.
For sure,
and they just kind of run college football. And they would have to get on board, and I don't think they would. They'd be like, this is stupid. Like, why don't we
Why wouldn't they?
They're we'll just put the 16 best teams in one conference.
They're printing money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't care.
So that's what I think needs to happen. This is, like, going to eventually lead to a total realignment.
Well, it's the Wild West, dude. Especially with, like, the name, image, and likeness stuff. Like, Texas wanting to move to the SEC. Like, you are going to break not only, like, the NCAA's grip that they've had for so long, like you might as well get ahead of it. Like you're holding on to these last few straws, hoping, oh, let's just keep it the way it is. And now they're like, yeah, we're gonna have a 16 team playoff. Forget it. You know, they were so against the four team, and then they realized, holy shit, that brings in a lot of money. Now we're gonna expand it. I think the NCAA needs to get in front of this sooner than later. Otherwise, it's gonna spiral out of control. Kind of like you were saying, Eric, and then all of a sudden, it's just going to be like the SEC in the 8-team playoff is going to have 7 of the 8 teams. And then Ohio State will be the 8th team.
So here's my thing. So the NFL signed a TV deal that lasts until, or I'm sorry, that will start in the year 2023. It will last through the year 2034. It's an 11-year deal worth more than $110 billion.
Jesus.
Okay? So I think that what I would do if I was one of the richest people in the world right now is I would just go to
You'd build a dick rocket and go to space?
No, I'd build a Virgin rocket.
Oh, okay.
I would literally go to all of the biggest college football teams, and I'd say, these kids aren't amateurs anymore. They're professionals. And we are going to start the, like, this other league that's going to be of only the best college teams. Come join us. We can't get the 110 that the NFL got, but we can get 70 for our TV deal for the next 10 years. And you're going to get, you know, $2 billion as a school to just drop the NCAA.
Wow.
Like, why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah.
We're going to pay the fucking players. They're going to, like, it's going to be every good college player. Yeah,
I mean, who says no?
The NCAA.
Well, yeah, besides them.
Desperately begging people to, like,
No,
we'll give kids, we'll let the kids make money at a car wash.
They can eat food out of a trash can.
Yeah. The kids can transfer schools now. They're not captive for their careers. Like the NCAA is too little too late. If I was, like, Jeff Bezos, instead of making a dick rocket, I would just make my own college football league and just have everyone secede from the NCAA that was worth anything. You would get every one of the recruits that was good in the entire country. You would literally just take NCAA players from them at the end of every year that were the best kids there to come join your semi-pro league. And you would have a massive TV following as Notre Dame and Ohio State and Michigan all joined forces with the SEC. They kicked out Vanderbilt and Missouri, added Clemson, added USC, added Oregon, and, you know, boom, the rest is history.
Yeah.
And then the Gophers could win a national championship at some point with the NCAA.
I kind of like it.
I like it, too. I think that needs to happen. So realignment is coming at some point, you know, when, who knows. All right, guys. Next up, we have the Twins at the trade deadline. All right, the Twins already traded Nelson Cruz for two pitchers that you'll probably never hear from. But that's okay, because I thought that was the right kind of deal to make. They took a swing at some big power arms.
You hope one is your third starter.
Sure.
In 3 years.
One was 25, one's 24, so it's not ideal ages, but they're like AAA guys who should be ready
with decent numbers.
Yeah,
and they're from the Rays. The Rays find pitching, man.
The Rays know how to find pitching, so like we
and the Twins know that the Rays know how to find pitching, so they're probably like, we ain't taking those guys. We know you don't like them. We want the two of the decent ones.
They were like, hey, you have these 12 pitchers in your top 30. We want the number one guy, and they're like, Nelson Cruz is 41, and they're like, we want the number two guy, and they're like, he is 41. We're like, we'll take number 5 and 7, and they're like, all right,
deal.
I think that's what happened.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. I'm cool with it.
And they're like, he's 41. Yeah, but he hit 20 home runs and he can smash it out of Tropicana Field or whatever the hell they played
out. He is still one of the best bats in the game. And Phil Mackey, friend of the pod, keeps pointing out that slugging percent-wise, Nelson Cruz is by far the greatest hitter in Twins history.
Crazy.
Which is pretty crazy. So who else could go is kind of what we're asking here. I'm going to throw some names at you. You kind of tell me if you think they will be gone. And then if you...
You mean by Friday?
Yeah, by Friday's okay. trade deadline. Do you think they'll be gone? Do you hope they'll be gone? Okay. So Nelson Cruz is already gone. Byron Buxton, who just turned down a big contract extension. Is he going to go?
I don't think so. I don't think there's an appetite for a player of his caliber who can't stay on the field. Maybe the Twins get desperate and just take 50 cents on the dollar, but I don't think so.
What about Jose Berríos? He's probably our most valuable trade chip.
I think he has to be gone. I think I don't think his value will get a lot higher than what it is right now. So strike while the iron's hot. We're not signing him to a 5-year, $150 million deal. It's time to move on. Get what you can. I guarantee there are contenders out there that would be like, we would love Berríos for our number three starter role, number two starter.
I think that Berríos is the most valuable piece we have. Depending on if Scherzer is there, or maybe even if he is there, he's probably the most valuable pitcher that will be on the market if he is on the market. He is 27, I think.
Yeah.
Playing his best season yet, and he's under team control for one more year.
Yep.
So he's on a great deal for a whole nother season. If you remember, I believe the Mets, was that the guy? They traded the guy last year to the Blue Jays. He was a former pitcher for the Rays. He's injured this year right now, but I don't know. He was like one of the big pitchers to move last year. You know him. You've already said his name today. Former Rays pitcher.
Blake Snell?
No.
Odorizzi?
No. I think he played for the Pirates and then he...
Chris Archer?
Was it Chris Archer? No. I don't know. Whoever it was, they had a guy they traded to the Blue Jays, the Mets did, and they got a big haul for him. And then I think he re-signed with the Mets this year. And he was the big pitcher at the deadline last year. And
Stroman?
Yeah. Maybe
Marcus Stroman?
Yeah. Maybe he didn't play for
anyway.
Yeah. But Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
I don't even remember where he was from. But that's the guy I'm talking about. He went for a big haul last year because he was under team control for another year and he was like a big, you know, pitcher on the market. That's a good
And when
age.
We say under team control, we mean like someone who should be being paid like $28 million and they're making like $7.5 million because baseball salary stuff is really fucked up.
Yeah, so I just think Berríos is the guy who could get you like a really big time prospect. Like I think you end up with someone big. There's a shortstop named Mauricio with the Mets who is like kind of where they don't want to go to with a trade, who's like a 20-year-old like 6'2" power hitting freak shortstop. I think if it's going to take a player like that plus more for the Twins to deal Berríos, and I think it will happen.
Yeah, I think it should. I don't think the Twins should say no. Other teams may feel like the Twins are asking for too much.
They probably do, but like you get them at the deadline and it's like desperation time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's why the Twins aren't going to pull the trigger on this until Thursday or Friday at the earliest.
Is his name Taylor Rogers? He's
the
reliever.
The lefty.
He's got to be gone, right?
Got to be gone. Get him out of here.
Andrelton Simmons.
I don't know if there's a market for him, but
he's probably gone for next to nothing.
Sure. We'll take your 54th best prospect.
Yeah.
If you
like,
need a decent fielding shortstop that can't hit.
They'll be like, we'll take your 6'5" guy who throws 102 miles an hour, but has a hard time throwing strikes and just had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. Great.
Where it's just like a shot.
Done.
Josh Donaldson.
Won't move him. Too expensive, too injury prone. Not a huge appetite for very expensive third baseman on the market.
See, so what I'm worried about with Donaldson is that there's going to be a team, and one of the rumored teams is the Mets, who seem to be interested in everyone right now. The Mets have shown interest in Donaldson, and they also have big interest in Berríos. I'm worried that they're going to take both of them including Donaldson's full salary for the next 2 years. But we don't get to get one of their top, top prospects.
They're going
to
use that as leverage to, drive down the price.
Give us Berríos on the cheap, and we'll just take Donaldson's shit contract off your hands. And I don't really want that. I think that, like, at some point, you can just be like, we'll pay half of his contract and give us a decent prospect.
That's actually a brilliant move if you're the Mets.
It is. That's very shrewd. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
I'm very upset now that you brought that up.
Can't you see it happening?
For sure. Because if that deal is brought to Carl Polhead, he'll do it in a second.
I think so, too. And, like, that just really bums me out. So, yeah, I'm hoping that something like that doesn't happen. But I know the Twins, and I know that the Twins are...
Well, especially if we're going to, like, halfway burn it down, right? Getting Donaldson's $90 million contract off the books is a good place to start.
I agree.
It would be cool if we actually went out and signed, like, big free agents, but we really don't do that.
No, we don't. All right, and here we go. It's the Northeast Olympic update.
What sort of racist, misogynistic announcements came out this week, Eric?
You sent them to me. There was something about shorts, like women wearing shorts or something.
Yeah, there was was it Denmark? Like the Danish women's handball team or something like that? It was something in some sand sport I'd never really heard of. I don't even know what the sport is. The women are supposed to wear bikini bottoms. The Danish, I'm just making this up. I don't remember what country it is, but let's just say the Danish women's team decided we don't want to wear those. We're going to wear shorts. They've been fined by the International Olympic Committee for not adhering to the uniform specifications.
Then there was a story about like a deaf athlete.
So this is from the Paralympics. She's blind. She was refused by the International Olympic Committee to be allowed to have her own assistant to, you know, help her probably like walk around and not get run over by cars and shower and get dressed. Her assistant that she wanted to bring was her mom, and they said, no, we will provide one for you.
I hate the Olympics. They're just so stupid. It's just like
this is also not like a regular human being. This is a blind swimmer.
Yeah.
Who is like, can I bring my mom?
I heard
and they're like, no.
I heard another team got kicked out because they brought too many swimmers. Like some like Eastern European country brought too many swimmers and then they just kicked them all out because they didn't follow the rules or something.
I didn't hear that.
I just hate like things that take itself so seriously that they think that there needs to be like strict punishments for something that's just supposed to be fun.
Yeah. It's a celebration of like athleticism. And they're like, you want to bring your mom?
Yeah.
Blind girl?
Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you. No, literally, it's so stupid. And then on top of that, Team USA in the first official Olympic game played against France. France ended the game on an 18-2 run. And
Team USA basketball.
Yeah. Team USA basketball. Men's basketball. Led by like lots of people you've heard of. And they lost to France in the first round. It's not going well.
Not for Team USA basketball.
No, or just the Olympics. I will tell you, I feel good about myself, everyone. I have watched 0 seconds of the Olympics. Zero.
I can't say that.
0 seconds. The only thing I like about the Olympics is, what's the girl's name? Simone Biles.
Yeah.
I think I like everything she does. Like, she's just like a superhero.
She's incredible.
She's like a little superhero. Like, she literally,
she's like Mighty Mouse.
Sometimes I'll see, like, someone will post a video on Instagram of her doing a trick. And I will, like, try my hardest, which isn't very easy on Instagram, to slow-mo watch it. Because I'm like, how many flips and spins did she do? And I, like, will watch it 10 times trying to be, like, count. But she moves so fast that I never can.
How about when she threw out the first pitch? And she did, like, a backflip. And like a full twist.
Like a 360 backflip just from a standing still and then got the ball.
Grabbed the ball.
Threw it over the middle.
Threw a heater. Yeah.
She's great.
I like her. And then I like Katie Ledecky, the swimmer that's ungodly good. Like, she dominated the last Olympics so much in every event that like nobody was even close to her.
My favorite Olympian is the girl who was smoking pot and got banned.
Sha'Carri Richardson.
Yeah, she's my favorite. I stand with Sha'Carri.
Is she an Olympian, though? I don't think she's an Olympian, technically.
I mean, if her parents would have paid just a little bit more money, she probably would have been, because that's pretty much what the Olympics are.
If she wasn't black.
Yeah.
And
if she was Michael Phelps, she would have.
Yeah.
They'd have been like, it was because of his mental illness, okay?
Listen, it's one picture. It's not a big deal. He's going to win 14 medals. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, I think it's BS. All right, guys, that's it. That's all the time we have for our update on the Olympics, and that's all the time we have on the Nordies podcast. Jim is back for our other episode this week, our screencast, our Summer of Star Wars, so go check that episode out.
It's going to be fire.
But until you hear us there, thank you guys for listening to us here at the Nordies podcast.